Well, would you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that for the message, the year-round message, but especially powerful this morning as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He came to this earth on a mission to bring salvation to humankind. We thank you for that. We thank you for your great love and mercy that brought this about, your power and strength that accomplished it. We thank you, Lord, that you didn't compromise anything about yourself, your justice, your holiness, your righteousness. You had to have the perfect sacrifice, the Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world. So help us to know all of these things that we already know, but in a deeper way, that we might live and breathe this truth, that it would be dominant in our lives. And thank you for this time together. Pray that you would speak to us through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm mostly going to read the account in Matthew 20, from Matthew 27, 7 to, I believe it's 28, 15, and a few comments, and then we're going to sing together Christ Arose, 357. But in Matthew 27, starting in verse 57, let me just say this, like I say, a few comments along the way. I started here because I want us to realize, and we already know it, but stop and think about it. Jesus was dead in the tomb. He did come with that intent. He didn't come to earth only to die, but as Paul writes to the Philippians, he came, he was obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Nothing can be puzzling to God, I know that, but just a thought that can enter. Can you imagine what went through the mind of the Son of God as he's approaching this time? Of course, we would be going back then to what we celebrate as Christmas and going to this earth and knowing what he was going to experience. The joy of his human creation. You know, he was there at the very beginning, and the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And but here it's coming down, and then the thoughts as he's lived on this earth. He lived on this earth for a little over 30 years, and he knows this time is coming. What thoughts must have entered into the mind of Jesus, Son of God, our Savior? But the dominant theme would be the Father, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And it had to be the same love, wouldn't you think, that compelled the Son of God to carry out that mission and to trust his Father, even as he was mocked and taunted that his Father had abandoned him. So in Matthew 27, when it was evening, there came, and this is evening of the crucifixion, when it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who was also a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given to him. And Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen shroud, and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had cut in the rock. As I read this too, as you read together with me, just think of some of these things too. Just think this man, a rich man, a disciple of Christ, and the care. See, this his new tomb, that was a big deal. And the care that he extended, heartbroken, but the care that he extended to this man he believed in. He laid it in his own new tomb, which he had cut in the rock, and he rolled a great stone to the entrance of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there, sitting opposite the tomb. Always had Marys around, right? Always had Mary around, these faithful women around, who had to be such a great encouragement. A good woman will do that. A good, faithful, godly woman. such an encouragement. The next day, that is, after the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember how that impostor," and this hit me as I read through, how dare they? This impostor, the Son of God, comes to earth. These puffed up, religious, I don't know. They call him the imposter. Imposter said while he was still alive, "After 3 days I will rise, therefore order the tomb to be made secure until the third day." And then now they just helped to firm up the testimony of a true resurrection, didn't they? Because they were seeing to it that it couldn't just happen. Someone couldn't just sneak in and steal the body, like the story they started later. Couldn't be vandalism, couldn't be. No, there's God's providence is written all over this. "Lest his disciples go and steal him away and tell the people he has risen from the dead, and the last fraud will be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard of soldiers. Go make it as secure as you can." So they went and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone and setting a guard. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, very, very early in the morning, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, well, here's Mary and Mary. "Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He's not here.'" See, the angel didn't roll the stone away. And what a scene that had to have been, and what would have gone through the minds of these Roman soldiers. The angel didn't roll the stone away so Jesus could get out, did he? No. Well, he rolled the stone away so they could see. He's not here. He's not here. Why wasn't he here? Well, he has risen as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you. So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." Talk about being happy to see someone. And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. What else would you do? Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." While they were going, it has already started. The forces of darkness to undermine the truth of the gospel and the resurrection. While they were going, behold, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priests all that had taken place. So now the chief priests, they have the facts, right? What are they going to do with the truth, with the evidence of the resurrection of the Son of God? When they had assembled with the elders and taken counsel, they gave a sufficient sum of money to the soldiers and said, "Tell people," here's the narrative you're going to push. "Tell people his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So they took the money and did as they were directed, and this story has been spread among the Jews to this day. Two accounts of the events of that morning emerged immediately concerning the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The account of the angel who spoke to the women, "Go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead," and the account of the chief priests and the elders, "Tell people that his disciples stole the body during the night." We've talked about it a bit, and how many times does it come down to who are you going to believe? The lie is always out there, isn't it? Sometimes it's a lot more subtle than this, but the lie is always there. What is the direction of our heart? Who are we going to believe? Christ Jesus came. Well, let me just read some. I've got some verses here at the back. First things first, 1 Corinthians 15:3-4, Paul says, "I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures." Matthew 1:21, "She," Mary, "will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." That was why he came, to save us from our sins. Ephesians 2:1, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins." Ephesians 1:7, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace." Jesus Christ came to die for sinners. And today, this morning, we celebrate that he has risen again. Amen.